And welcome to the Tales from the Long Blocks podcast. This is episode, just a little pauser, sorry. Episode 101, Batman Year Zero, Part 1. And I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
The name of the episode, we're going to be talking about the first two issues of Scott Snyder's and Greg Capullo's Zero Year, which they're going to do, if I understand, this is going to last a whole 12 issues in the standard stock Batman comic, Batman no colon, something else on the end.
Batman has no colon? Whoa, that's got to be
incredible. Yeah, I know. But yeah, they're kind of redoing the backstory of how he came. I was thinking more it was about, it might be trying to replace Year One, but I think they're not stupid enough to do that. This is more like how he got to the point before he decided to be Batman. That's what this is. This Zero Year.
And I think it's interesting. We can dive into it more, but I actually had a continuity question regarding. Sure. So, but I was just
going to say that you wanted to talk about something first.
I do.
We can get into
just,
it.
And I kind of want to make a bad news, good news episode. Yeah. I don't want to. DC is, you know. For those who actually visit the internet, now that does not include Murray apparently, but
no, he's been out in the woods pelting and trapping, I think.
Pelting and trapping.
Okay, continue.
Usually it's the other way. Usually, don't you trap first and then pelt?
But... yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right.
I'm no expert.
No, I'm not either. Obviously.
Okay, clearly.
Clearly. No. So DC is about 2 years ago. Just prior to the New 52 launch, they had this campaign called Holding the Line at 299, and which was an awesome campaign because basically their books, other than a couple of standouts that had backup features, were priced at 299 per issue. And 1 month later, they would drop down to $1.99 via the internets, or Comixology, to be more precise. Recently, they've done away with a lot of their backups, and their books have stayed at $3.99. There's a couple that have been longer. You know, that have been, you know, more than the usual 20 pages. They've been 24 pages or even 30 pages. But apparently, if we were to look at this September and October pricing for DC, we would see that they have very few books that are now $2.99 anymore and are still coming in at 20 pages per issue. They are $3.99. And as we discussed before, it's taking now 2 months to lose that dollar. Hike or a drop in price on Comixology.
Oh, sorry. My phone. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, I find it harder and harder to justify buying monthly comics. I mean, at $4 a freaking pop, it's ridiculous.
Did you say, like, in October?
Yes.
They're still, like, that's after their Villains United.
Yeah, this is what kind of prompted this. I found this article on, it came out on the 11th on Comics Beat, and I posted it into the group. And since you haven't been there, it's real short. It's called, and it's written by Heidi McDonald. It says, is DC launching a stealth price hike? While holding the line at $2.99 was a rallying cry for DC a few years ago, since then the realities have been encroaching on comics pricing. DC's stealth price hike is well underway, and it's much like when Marvel started hiking things to $3.99 several years back. New series are among those getting hiked, and Trinity War seems to be an excuse to raise some prices, with the odd legitimate double-sized issue thrown in. For instance, this week alone, Supes Unchained is 25 pages. Not by Jim Lee. This is a two not by Jim Lee / stiff cover for $4. JLL Trinity is legitimate 35 pages stiff cover. I don't know what that means by stiff cover, but anyway, for $4. Astro City is 24 pages for $4. Yes, there are 40 pages. 14 of them are ads. One letter page. One Vertigo editorial page. If it's over 20, it is $4. Moving forward to the October solicitations, we see the Justice League books staying at $3.99, 32 pages, as well as Forever Evil, Superman Wonder Woman, Damian Son of Batman, Superman Unchained, Action, no longer listed at as 40 pages, Batman Superman, Detective, no longer listed at 40 pages, and All-Star Western, no longer 40 pages. Astro City is listed as $3.99, 40 pages, but who knows how many ad pages it will have in October. And the last thing she says is, if you want more $3.99 comics, keep buying them.
So, and if you read down, there's a thread of comments on the beat, including ones from Jimmy Palmiotti, as well as Kurt Busiek, talking about it. And Jimmy Palmiotti confesses to being strictly a trade buyer now. He doesn't buy the monthlies anymore. And I mean, but, and he probably gets comped. I mean, or at least they used to. So I don't know if they still do comps or not for creators. But
well, I don't know. I think it was a couple of years ago somebody got fired because they were selling their comps.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's they stopped or not. Okay, go ahead.
And Busiek goes on to say that you know that they can't. There's no middle ground in pricing. It's either $2.99 or $3.99. They're not going to do a $3.50 because it's been determined they sell no more copies. Or a negligible a number of extra copies at the slightly lower price. So basically, it's an all or nothing. So if anything comes in over the 20 pages, DC feels justified for hiking it a buck. But they're not required to. And Paul French would be the huge advocate of this point of view is they're not required to justify their pricing to us.
No, they're not.
Their justification is you're willing to pay it. That's their justification. So
in most cases, yeah.
But I think it's too expensive. It's too expensive.
Well, see, I was just sitting there thinking I agree with you, but then again, I haven't in the last couple of weeks because money's been tight, but. Up and I was complaining about their $3.99 comps because one, they haven't been as good as they used to be,
right.
And the low pages, and I don't even know what the pages of the Valiant stuff has, but I've been shelling out $4 for those and not feeling bad about it at all because they seem to be a lot better quality.
What's the quality? It's a quality question. And DC has only a couple books that I'm feeling comfortable. Paying that price for, and one of them we're going to talk about here in just a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't want this to be the sole focus, but I didn't want it to go unmentioned because.
No, I agree.
You know, we all three grew up in a time when comics, you know, when we were slammed with the price increase up to 75 cents.
Oh, I remember that.
Back in I don't know was that probably 84 or 85 somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was painful. And that was 75 cents from I don't know what was it before? It was 50 cents or something. So
yeah, it went from 50 to 75. I remember which Legion issue it was. It was the Starboy Spotlight, and it also happened to be with Batman. It was the first. It had Jason Todd on the cover. In the Robin outfit. Those are the two that spring to mind.
One of mine was an issue of Amethyst that jumps out at me. So.
Yeah.
I don't remember particularly which one, but it was mid miniseries or
I think
maxi.
It was like Legion of Superheroes 302 or 303 or something like that. It's a fill-in issue. That's terrible. Anyway. Yeah, I'm looking at these Valiant. Bloodshot, I just picked one at random. Bloodshot number 11, 33 pages. So, I mean, obviously. Now, then number 12 was only 29, but it's still $3.99.
Yeah, is that 33 pages of story, or is that 33?
Well, it's you're talking about the digital versions, so yeah.
So 33 pages of story, yeah. Oh, no, that's not necessarily true, because they also, on the digital, they put in those...
there's a couple of those penciled pages, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm not really... Yeah. Okay.
I think it's cool to see the development on those pages, but
yeah.
from pencils to colored final product is... with lettered final product is cool.
Looks like they try to stay at least 30 pages, because one was 33, well, that one's 27, so even they are jumping up and down as far as price count, but it doesn't dip under 20 like sometimes Marvel's do, I've noticed. They'll put one out for $4 and then have like 15 pages in it. But anyway.
Yeah, anyhow, I thought it should be noted. I'm sure we can talk about it more in depth.
Yeah, I kind of like to do, like in September when it's the actual 2-year anniversary, go over everything that's happened. All the creative changes and stuff, but that's a lot of work. I haven't had a chance to mess with it.
And by the way, we are 3 episodes away from our 2-year anniversary.
Are we really? Oh, wow.
52 divided by 2 equals, or times 2 equals, not 4, not 4.
Holy crap, you're right.
I am right. I am right, damn it.
Son of a bitch.
I play a mathematician on TV, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, all right then. Are we ready to get started on this? Go ahead.
And real quick, Marie, my kids are really digging Matt Smith, so I just thought I'd let you know.
Excellent. See, they have taste.
Well, I've only watched a couple episodes. I need to,
He's growing on me. He's still not my doctor, but he's growing on me.
Yeah, I have to say, Tennant's my doctor right now.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, he'll grow on you. His charming manner will just worm its way into your soul.
I don't know. Part of it might be because he's so freaking young.
I think the one that they kind of not won me over, but made me a little more comfortable with him was the one where Rory gets cacked. So.
Oh.
You're gonna have to be more specific.
Yes. No, that's a good point.
That happens every other episode.
Let me see. I think this is his second or third death. I don't know. The one where poor Amy forgets that he exists.
Oh, I bet that's interesting.
Where everyone forgets he exists.
Huh. That would be okay for a day or two.
I think it's only for a few episodes that they forget he exists. Oh,
okay. Well, I mean, it would be... Well, except for when you try to come into the house and, they're like... And then, everybody's freaking out. And I could see my sister could probably kick my ass, so that probably wouldn't be good.
No. So.
Okay. All right.
That's my Doctor Who comment for the week. I'm...
Okay.
He will not be David Tennant ever. No, I'm sorry, Marie. That's just not going to happen. But.
Yeah. Why did he leave? Did anybody know?
I think he
We
was
talked up. About this. He's just tired of it.
Yeah, well, I think he thought 3 or 4 years was enough.
Yeah, and I've been watching this on Facebook, this David Tennant fan page, and he's been doing a lot of stuff. I'd like to catch it because I really enjoy his acting. All right, moving on from the Doctor Who podcast.
So Batman 21, 22 of one in part 1 and 2 of, you said 12 parts?
I think they're actually going to do 12 issues of this, yeah.
Wow, I thought it was only going to be 4, but...
I could be wrong, but it's...
Like I said, I had some continuity questions, but I don't want to get too far ahead on here.
No, man, go ahead.
Okay, so Batman Year One, the classic, Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli.
Right.
4-parter from... I don't remember what issues of Batman it was, but it was Volume 1 of Batman, whatever issues. It starts with him arriving from his world travels into Gotham. But this seems to set it up that in this year zero, prior to him donning the cape and cowl, already being in Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just making sure I'm not missing something.
No, yeah. Well, see, the difference being that they're trying to tie it in more. I think, and that when they did the New 52, all the heroes had been around for quote unquote about 5 years, but then as things got developed, Batman had been around for a whole year longer, and they kind of on the first page of 21, Batman number 21, they kind of bring that back, because the first thing it says is Gotham City 6 years ago, and they show this, you know, Wayne Tower all busted up, mm-hmm. and, you know, the subways are flooded, and you got this, like, and this kid's fishing in the subway, and everything's covered with grass, and it looks, you know, a dystopian thing. It kind of reminds me of that I Am Legend Will Smith was in a couple years ago, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which what I think they've done is they might have figured out a way to put in the whole no man's land thing in there. You know, which they kind of redid in The Dark Knight, because it shows him as Batman taking out a couple of guys that's like trying to, you know, take out this kid. And the kid says, you know, he thinks you're dead, you know. He's been telling everyone that ever since he killed the city. And Batman tells him.
I actually forgot that was how.
Yeah, I did too, because I opened it back up. That whole, because they got right into it. But so this was like just as he's just barely out when this showing, obviously, or I don't know, maybe. And he says, and Batman tells the kid, good, then he won't see me coming. And then they pop right into whatever. And they're, you know, going back. And basically they make it where it looks like he is operating in disguises all the time. No, okay, it's 11 issues. Caleb looked it up.
Ha!
That's fine. That's just kind of weird, 11 issues. Anyway.
No, not paying attention. I'm listening and surfing at the same time.
No, that's fine. I'm just surprised it's 11.
California.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I was like, that's California. That's very California. Surfing and do-do-do.
Oh, gotcha. But anyway,
take the boy out of California, but you can't take California out of the boy. Okay.
Right.
So the next page shows 5 months earlier.
Right.
And apparently, okay, little history for the ones that don't know. The Joker was originally, and they've taken a lot of stuff from like real old school, like in the first year that Batman came out in the 30s. I had to look some stuff up and wasn't sure about some of it, but the Red Hood was what the Joker was at first. And he got dumped in those chemicals in the fight with Batman, and that's where the Joker came from. Well, it starts out that this whole Red Hood gang has got the Gotham City in this stranglehold, and Bruce Wayne he's basically got everything that Batman has already, except for he uses disguises. And he's, you know, the weapons and all the gadgets and everything else. And he's trying to take this Red Hood gang on like that. And, of course, they have no fear of him. So he's, you know, mixed results. And he shows him in a standoff with some guys that the Red Hood gang decided to, you know, kidnap. And he's going to save them. And Alfred's talking in his ear and a whole bit. And this guy that's the Red Hood, he's like blackmailing and pushing people into working for him.
And I like how they're setting up the new Alfred dynamic that was never that they've been using lately, which is Alfred is basically the Oracle of the Bat family.
Yeah, exactly.
I like how they Snyder is saying, okay, you know what? In the new continuity, that's always been Alfred's role.
Yeah. Well, that they did that. There was some of that in the old days too. Once Alfred was actually, you know, established.
Is that right? To the extent that they've been doing it lately?
Not to this extent, no. Because
okay,
one thing that I've haven't liked over the years is how the detective part of Batman. I mean, he's still a detective, but there's a lot of the stuff I read back in the 70s. A lot of the legwork and stuff he did by himself. And mm-hmm. then went whatever, and now it's like he's always on the move, and he's got somebody talking in his ear telling him stuff. I mean, he'll direct, say, hey, go look this up for me, and then, you know, yada, yada, yada. But still, it's still good stuff. So anyway, yeah, he's doing all these things like he do as Batman, and I love how he flipped him off at the end, but they put censored. But anyway. And then it's going back and forth, flashing back to when he was a kid. And also, so yeah, there's a scene, there's a couple panels there. He's testing tech out. He's got all the back computers, and he's got all these masks and stuff, like Mission Impossible type costumes and makeup, which he always was a master of makeup, but that's like his main thing. And you know, him and Bruce are talking, Alfred and Bruce and him are talking back and forth, and he's basically telling Alfred that Bruce Wayne is going to stay, is Bruce Wayne, as like he's another person, is going to stay dead. He doesn't want the public to know. So, anyway, but he's planning on using guerrilla warfare. And I like, there's, in the second one, there was the comments about wars he fought, Alfred, and it made it more like the one in the movies, I thought. But it's a nice touch.
Yeah, I'm liking the new Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
Setting aside his use in the current Justice League story, but well, that's a whole different story.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. Sure. I kind of saw. I saw a little bit of that. I haven't read that yet, but. But anyway, yeah, the back and forth between them is good. I like that because he's, you know. He's really taking that, you know, he's really giving him, it's like, this is crazy, and the whole bit, just like usual.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a little, you know, kind of a, show some background, and it shows Bruce put on a hat, and it's got an R on it, like the Robin symbol. And then later on in the book, you see him talking to his dad when he was a kid, and that's the same exact hat that his dad used to wear. Not sure.
It's not just like the Robin symbol.
Yeah, it is
the Robin symbol.
Yeah, and I get it's some kind of. It's like his dad's working on cars, and it's like some kind of logo for something. I have no idea, but they put that in. So I thought that was cool, a little homage there. And then they bring in Uncle Philip, and I'm thinking, okay, which is his, you know, his dad's father. He's a Wayne. He's one running Wayne Enterprises. And I thought, well, you know, maybe they made this guy up, but apparently I was wrong, because I looked it up in the Batman Encyclopedia that came out right before Batman Rest in Peace came out, and it was done by Robert Greenberger, and he's actually an established character. They just haven't used it in a long time. And as a matter of fact, the Earth 2 Batman was actually raised by his Uncle Philip.
Oh, that's cool.
Not Alfred. So, yeah, they're not pulling this out. They're trying to use – it looks like they're really trying to use things from the past and kind of incorporate it in here. But I thought that was interesting. He's the one, you know, actually running Wayne Enterprises, and he keeps trying to get Bruce involved. Alfred kind of figured out, or he kind of figured out that Bruce was still alive and found him. And he takes him to Wayne Enterprises, and out front is a big giant Penny.
That's cool.
I thought it was really cool, and it's like, he was talking about how he was in a cave and found it, and he was the one that saw it being forged. And see,
forged by a giant dinosaur?
No, that comes later, I think. I'm trying to figure out what explains why. Anyway, he had it forged for some reason. And he shows it to him, trying to get him back in. And it gives a flashback when he's a little kid with his dad, and that's where you see the Robin hats a lot. And they establish Fox. What's that character's first name?
Lucius
Fox as being a tech guy again, and not just a business guy, because he's talking about some kind of high-end 3D visual mapper that they made. But anyway, whenever they show, you know, Bruce, he's doing the whole thing with the masks, the disguises. And then you show Uncle Philip again later on, and he's talking to Edward Nigma, which apparently works for him. And you get the distinct impression that Uncle Philip is doing stuff that's not exactly, you know, up on the up and up. There's secret dealings going on. So that's the end of that issue. We're talking, and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. And at the beginning of it, you know, the Redhead made a comment about how well he could drive. So then the backup story is, which I like how they're doing that. The backup stories seem to be stories with Bruce Wayne with his mentors.
And it's and they're written by Snyder and Tinian. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the guy, his first name, but
James.
James.
There you go. So kind of Snyder's protege.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one doing Talons still, at least until it's canceled. Well, you know, that's just the way it's been lately. So then you know, they talk about, I guess he's working with some kind of a thief, and that's where he learned all his driving skills, and the guy's, you know, always running from the cops and everything, and he decides to blow him up with a bazooka, and Bruce pretends to wreck to keep him from doing that. And as he punches him in the mouth, he says, "Thanks for the lesson, Don Miguel. You've killed 23 police officers in 13 countries over the last 3 years." So anyway, that's how they do that. And the next one,
As I was saying before, with the updated dynamic with Alfred, I like how they have how he has brought Edward Nigma into continuity.
Yeah, it's really nice.
My personal favorite of the core Batman villains, of the four core Batman villains. So. Mm-hmm.
Four core Batman.
I think there's four. That I think Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman, and Joker are the, in my opinion, are the four core. And I don't say that just because they were the cool ones from the original Batman movie either.
No, I have to agree. Those seem like the core ones.
Riddler.
Why you disagree, Murray?
No, four just seems small. Mr. Freeze should probably be in there.
Possibly
the core. I don't know if I would call him core.
Because
I would think of the core.
Poison Ivy. She should be in there.
Yeah. Well, actually, Professor Ivo was the first one, actually.
Well, he was the first. It doesn't necessarily make him a core one.
No, that's true.
Professor Ivo?
Not Ivo. Professor Strange.
Ugh, no.
Hugo Strange?
Psychiatrist? Yeah, Hugo Strange.
No.
Yeah.
The guy with the cool, the guy with the funky glasses and the...
Yeah, he was
the
very first, quote-unquote,
Abraham Lincoln beard?
Yeah, I've got, like, the first five volumes of that Batman Chronicles that they've been putting out, and that was actually the very first supervillain he came across. Everything else was just minor criminals.
So you gotta get through five volumes before you get a real villain?
Oh, no, it was before that. I haven't read them all, but it was like in the first or second one. But yeah, you remember that series that Matt Wagner did called Batman and the Monster Men?
Yeah.
Well, it was basically, he took that story from an early Batman book that was like one... You know, well, how five to seven pages in an old 30s book and made a 4-issue series out of it, and it was really good.
I bet it was. Two-Face.
Yeah, Two-Face would be up there.
Two-Face, he should be in the core.
Okay, so we,
Oh my goodness. Okay, fine, whatever. Gosh.
Man, such a debate. Okay, people, who are your core Batman villains? We'll have to throw that on Facebook later.
If you're including Hugo Strange, you're cracked.
Well, I'm not saying he was one. I'm just saying he was the first. Okay, so we come
I think he said he was. Murray, we can rewind the recording. I think he said he was.
Okay.
Yeah, you totally did.
Well, I was just trying to include him on that.
No, he doesn't get included. He's a
geek. Hey, we have a guest here. Looks like my little nephew has just showed up. Well, hello there. How's it going?
Chris doing his best to change the subject.
Yeah. All right, you go back upstairs. I'm recording, okay?
You like Batman?
Oh, he can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me, damn. Okay.
Yeah, I cleaned up. Yeah, he came down here a while ago, and he said, you really need to clean up. I was cleaning down here, and he said, are you really going to you cleaning up your bleep? Said
what?
A bird. He said, are you going to clean up your shit? Little shit. But we don't have any idea where he gets that from. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I cleaned up.
You moved into the house, what, like 3 months ago, and it's already you've already trashed this room?
Well, yeah, it's just all the crap in here. I threw 5 50-gallon bags of trash today.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And now the kids are cursing. Look at you.
I know. I'm good. Hold on a second. Yeah, you need to go upstairs. Put that down and go upstairs. I'm recording.
Down the utility belt.
Yeah, go on.
Don't touch that statue.
Yeah, don't mess with that. Yeah, thank God I don't have any of that in here. Yeah, go upstairs. I'm recording, okay? I'll see you later.
Put the cat down.
Anyway, so we start out.
Don't like kerosene. Come on.
We start out with one of my favorite things from the Batman cartoon is somebody robbing a dirigible or a blimp, if you like.
Poor guy.
And it's a mobster, I think. And it just shows how much the Red Hood is involved because the bodyguards of this mobster, they put red masks on behind him, and he kicks him out. And then all of a sudden you see the Penguin is here.
Oh, yeah, that Penguin.
Yes, Mr. Cobblepot. I don't think he's a Penguin yet. And apparently there's some high-tech weaponry, Wayne-tech weaponry, sonic cannons that he was trading with this guy. But you see Cobblepot jump at the Red Hood and come to find out, it's really not the Penguin. It's Bruce Wayne again, pretending, trying to set this guy up.
And real quick, Snyder's not specifically saying that this guy who's being the Red Hood right now is going to be the one who's going to become the Joker at some point. I mean, it's presumed. But his mannerism and his speech patterns are very much in line with the Joker. I mean, his blasé way that he blew his henchmen away.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna turn the gun on him and you're dead. You know.
Yeah, because he's saying, "Hey, I'm gonna says let's do something." And one of the guys, like one of his minions, say, "Are you lost your damn mind?" And he goes, "Bam!" And so he's trying to invite this vigilante into the Red Hood game because he likes how he works. And so, yeah, he was Bruce Wayne 6'2 and in a fat suit, and he had this guy convinced that he was actually Cobblepot, a little short guy. Which is, that's pretty impressive acting right there. And he kind of gets out of the suit and starts fighting, and there's like some kind of shark fins coming out of his arm, and yeah, anyway.
Michael Keaton as Danny DeVito.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a big fight and sonic cannons and all that good stuff, and he's hiding his face, and so yeah, and he's got these like magnetic shoes and he's hiding under the deal. But anyway, I really like this little dynamic.
Magnetic shoes were in the first issue.
They showed him using that, but apparently he had kidnapped Cobblepot and tied him up so he could pretend like he was him. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So he's doing this all just with disguises. He's still trying to fight crime. And then you get the flashbacks again. He finds the cave. And then they go back, showing snippets of him testing weapons and everything else. And that's when they get into a big Alfred and him get in a big argument. And he pretty much calls him a coward for doing this like he is.
And now that's Alfred, by the way, that's Alfred calling Bruce.
Yeah, he's calling him a coward because he's doing it as a ghost. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. And Alfred, Bruce calls him a coward right back, and Alfred smacks him right side of the head. It was interesting.
It was a nice little conversation.
Yeah, it's more like a father-son role there than So, anyway. He convinces him into, you know, seeing his uncle. Which, wait a minute. Ah, I take that back. It isn't Thomas's brother. It's because they had established in earlier in some backup stories that her name was Kane. Martha's maiden name was Kane, so it's her brother. Because he shows him calling Philip, and it says Kane slash Philip, so it's his mother's brother, not his father. So they switched that around.
You mother brother son of a...
So anyway, meets up...
That means Batwoman is probably related to her, which means Batwoman's kind of Batman. Yes. They're like...
If I'm not mistaken...
Siblings or something.
Like cousins, I think. They're like second cousins, maybe, because...
Let's make them kissing cousins.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. She goes for the more Sappho vibe, though.
Yeah, she does.
Right.
So anyway, meets uncle at the museum, and they throw him a... He tells everybody that he is alive, and there's press and everything else, and... And tells him he is going to come back and run Wayne Enterprises and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden is pressing his face, and one of the first ones is Vicki Vale.
And I think it's cool that they made Philip. I kept expecting that he was going to turn out like that one character in the first Batman, in Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Not Batman Returns, Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah. The, what's his name?
Rutger Hauer character.
Yes, that's right.
I kept thinking he was going to turn out to be that, where he'd be like, you know, back off, you know, go be a little, you know, frat boy. Mm-hmm. But at least on the surface, it appears that Philip is like, look, you're Wayne, this is your company, pull your shit together, come on. So I thought that was a nice. I didn't expect that.
Behavior. Well, I don't. I still think something's up because then he talks. He ends up trying to escape in the museum, and he ends up running into. Murray just googled. Batman core villains: Joker, Ugh, Riddler, Catwoman. Two-Face, Mr. Freeze, the Penguin, Poison Ivy. No Dr. Hugo Strange listed. I win. Okay, fine. I don't know where you got that, but we'll have to discuss that, too.
Whose opinion was that?
Google's. You can't buy Google. I could wiki Google. It, too.
Google. All right, then.
Google said that it must be
true.
So anyway, they're talking, and he's giving him riddles, and there's this little puzzle thing, and he's like giving him riddles to how to get out of there.
That was incredibly clever. That whole
little, it was.
That was straight out of where oh god, what was that? What was that story where where Batman? Oh, like in Crisis on Infinite Earths number one. Where Batman shows up at it's the Joker was the villain in that one, but you know, the whole thing about the connection between Miles Standish and the last surviving ancestor of Miles Standish happens to live at that address in Gotham City or something like that. It's like, how the hell did you make that connection? And that's kind of that had that this vibe. It's like knowing that the Sphinx had no wings and that the only way to get ahead or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, that's the kind of stuff I miss Batman doing, is figuring out. Which, they always show him so smart all the time, but still, it's that kind of thing that I think is really good.
Murray, you need to read this scene from Batman 22 where with Enigma and Bruce Wayne at the in the museum. It is
page 20.
I will do that.
It is good.
You will find it incredibly clever and amusing.
Yeah, and it's obvious that Enigma is—he doesn't feel challenged by anyone, but he gets a hint of intelligence out of Bruce. So anyway, the next thing you know, you
see—this is also pre-Bruce Wayne trying to play dumb.
Exactly. Yeah, he's just trying to keep out of the public eye completely.
Because there comes a point where he goes, you know what? I can't be Bruce Wayne and be intelligent at the same, you know, as intelligent as Bruce Wayne. So he is in no way making any attempt to cover up the fact that he's clever and acrobatic.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bruce goes somewhere in a taxi, and the guy that was his taxi driver ends up being Red Hood One, as he calls himself. And he's in there, and apparently where he's been hiding out, this apartment. And next thing you know, you see a big explosion, and they're all walking off. And that's the last of it.
And I get the impression from earlier in the issue that there's a lot of the Red Hood gang is pretty extensive.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I mean, they're talking in the two. I mean, there was one that was Red Hood 230 something or other.
Yeah.
So they are everywhere.
So yeah, next story is and it's got Bruce Wayne in that one time, and then the Bruce Wayne's in a bat symbol. It's kind of cool.
He's
I guess he mentored with some inventor, I think. I don't know, or, yeah.
Do you know that guy? Is that guy new?
No, I've never seen this guy. Sergi, he's called. Yeah, I've been reading through in the Batman Encyclopedia, they go through all the recorded instances of his training and what issue that they talked about it, and this guy isn't in there. And I don't think he was, because then it was in the Batman and Robin issue after the New 52 that they said there were seven mentors, I think six or seven mentors that he had. And this apparently is one of them. And they're talking back and forth, and he's making all these trinkets, and apparently this is where he gets it from, who he mentored on making gadgets. And apparently he's in a trap to try to get out of it using these things, and he wakes up and they're all busted, so he's got to figure out a way using it to get it out. So that's exactly what he does.
And it was a nice dynamic, this little story.
Yeah,
here.
I really enjoyed it. And I love... Oh, yeah, there was a comment, and they always tie it together. There was a comment made about the Sphinx in that previous story, and that's exactly where he escaped out from under the Sphinx.
Yeah, that's right. Nigma asks him, hey, have you ever seen the Sphinx in person or something along those lines? It's like once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this story, this backup story is set with him trying to escape from underneath the real Sphinx in Egypt. So...
Yep.
Nice tie together, and
yeah, it was really good.
Kind of like in what Morrison was doing over in Action with Charlie Fish.
Yeah, good stuff.
And I think it's good that we're talking about a positive product from DC.
Right now, it's the only book I'm buying. Well, I take that back. I'm buying at least Green Lantern so far.
We need to pick up Green Arrow, but that's not...
Yeah, well, I can only afford a couple right now, so...
Whatever.
I didn't say I wasn't reading it. I just said that's the only one I could afford.
I'm hoping... from comments that I saw online, they're not looking to dismantle, I think was the word...
No.
Year one, Frank Miller's year one. They're looking to supplement it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see if there will be a direct, you know, at the end of this story, whether we can then go directly into the first part of Batman year one, or if it's going to be enough of a divergence that, yeah, we could still have a year one story, but it's, you can't quite, you know, go from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm. I'd be fine if they just left year one on Earth One or Earth DC or whatever that Earth was. Right. It's it's a good story. It's not going anywhere, and it's I don't know. I don't think you need it for the new 52 Batman. I'd be fine if year zero turns into a new year one. I don't know. I know they don't want to touch year one. They want to keep it all.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Sam. But whatever. If it goes away, I'm okay with that.
Speaking of that, something I thought was interesting. I don't know about you guys, but one of the things I read and I look forward to every time it comes out is the Batman Beyond digital that they put out. It's like 99 cents, 22 pages, I might add. Been really enjoying that. And I can't remember what I saw in it, but it is obviously taking its continuity is comes directly from the original DC Universe, the pre-Flashpoint one. And I've got to find where I got that from.
That's cool. No, I didn't. I'm not. I started to originally, and I really like Adam Beecham as a writer, but
the artist they got right now is just horrible.
I fell so far behind, and it's just the opportunity to catch up. If I want to read stuff that I've always wanted to catch up on, or you know, it'll be there. Luckily, it's you know,
yeah.
I know they're canceling some of those digital books, but that's not one of them.
No. The Dark Knight one, which that's for whatever reason I didn't stick with that. It's mostly because they came out and I didn't know when they were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the subscription, because this one I always sought out and made sure that I read it. But this one, the other one, I didn't stay with.
Yeah. I have to latch onto a comment that Murray made a moment ago. Murray, I got the impression that you were never overly impressed with your one.
You know, I read it when it came out 100 years ago, and it was fine. I don't know that I've gone back and reread it a whole lot. I don't even know if I have it anymore. I don't think I like what Miller did with Catwoman.
But, oh yeah, that was very controversial, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
Making her a hooker?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
No,
all
that's
right.
Fine.
All right.
Okay. I should reread it.
You should. Especially since it, you know, it's one of those out of continuity stories.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I liked in this last story, this one of the stories that they had was they brought back the middlemen.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, in Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
Oh, in Batman Beyond. Okay.
Yeah, they brought back the middlemen.
Ooh, I'll have to look for that one.
It's in the last, issues probably 21 through 26, had that story in it. Early on in this run, the Max character was, getting involved with a thing called the Underground, a secret society of hackers. And you know how great she is with, computers. Well, that is if you watch the TV show or continue to read the books. And the Undercloud person ends up being one person, and they wanted to destroy the upper city because all the rich people are up there and they treat people like crap, and she just went bonkers. Well, apparently she's been collecting pieces of the middlemen and formed them into that alloy character that you saw in Kingdom Come.
Oh, right, I remember that character. Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, she found all the responsive meters that were hidden in... so she made him into that, and they finally got out, you know, that, and since, Bruce Wayne almost died of liver failure earlier in the run, you still there?
I am.
Okay, the background went away. The background noise went away, so I thought I might have lost you.
No, Marie may have muted her.
But anyway, yeah, so it was a real good storyline. So he's, like, trying to get that in, and towards the end of it, there's a new status quo. He brings Max into the fold as their computer person. And the middlemen, he puts them up on the Injustice Gang's satellite. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the fact that these titles, they can do whatever freaking continuity they want, and there's no fear. And those titles sell incredibly well.
Oh well, they're actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just got the latest issue I bought. I haven't read it yet, but apparently somebody starts calling herself Batgirl. It's called Batgirl Beyond, part one of three. Looking forward to reading it.
And they take, and for 99 cents, most of those take as long to read as the $4 book.
Well, yeah, this is 23 pages.
Yeah.
It's like last one.
It's great. I've been reading, you know, the Injustice book.
That one I haven't been.
The one shot, or the weeklies, or bi-weeklies, or whatever, however often it comes out. And it takes as long to read a one of those as it does, you know, except for this last issue of Batman, which took a while to get through, which is good. That's a positive comment.
Absolutely.
It should take that long at $4 a pop. So.
I agree totally.
You know, I'm glad to see that DC can continue to put out this quality book, and I'll be interested to see what happens. Apparently he lost part of it. They had to rewrite a whole script recently.
Yeah, I saw that. And
he inadvertently deleted
7 pages of it.
Yeah, so they rewrote the whole thing.
That I posted that in there. It looked like to me they already had a rewrite ready before he even wrote it.
And I wonder what the hell that means.
Isn't that what you got out of that too? It's like, oh yeah, we already have a rewrite. Here you go.
Yeah, I don't. What does that mean? Does that mean that they're already rewriting scripts as they go?
I guess, but that's what I got out of it.
Or they just keep, like, he sends copies of scripts as he works on. Like, I would maybe he's just sending multiple copies of scripts and they get them, edit them, make some changes, send them back to him. He gets them, works on them, makes more. Like, do you know, like, sends it back and forth. So
yeah.
If he's lost a script, they just take the last one that they've gotten and go. I don't know. Like, I mean, who knows how they work? Like, I can't see.
Okay, this is it. Mere moments after superstar writer Scott Snyder announced via Twitter in his accidental deletion of 7 pages of his latest Batman script, DC editors responded by immediately handing over a rewritten version of not only the lost pages, but the entire script from scratch.
So you're probably right, Murray. He probably had turned in pages 1 through 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And accidentally deleted, you know, 16 through 22 or whatever. And so he just had to go in and say, okay, here's 7 pages.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, there, I think DC is using it as a way of saying, see, it's great when editors are doing the writing, but I can't see that the editors are writing that much of the DC, like, of the Batman book. Like, otherwise, why would you have Greg Capullo or Scott Snyder? Like, if Scott's not doing any of the writing, then why would you pay for him to be the writer? You know what I mean?
Well, it's probably appearances. I don't know. I have no idea.
He's the beer.
Yeah.
He's the guy with the
but,
flashy.
I mean,
spot.
It's like, yeah. I got the impression that they already had a rewrite for a script that he hadn't written yet.
He's their Remington Steele.
Yeah, maybe they are.
Oh, I missed that show.
Well, I didn't think it was that great, but yeah.
What? What?
Okay. But, I mean, you read that, that's what it reads to me. It's like,
you were a Moonlighting fan. You liked Matthew David, didn't you?
I liked it until they got together, and then it sucked.
Yeah. Well, I liked Remington Steele all the way through.
Well, I did like Remington Steele. Okay, fine, be that one. I did like Remington Steele.
See?
You know, I'm beginning to think we should have a TV show podcast, because we talk about them a lot. Anybody out there, what do you think? A TV show podcast? Let us know. Let us know what you think. I thought about doing one on Star Trek, actually. Not that anybody's ever done that before.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Star Trek.
Nobody will listen.
Flash in the pan.
Yeah. It's only been around for 30-some-odd years. It's not going to last.
I'm older than that. Nobody does a podcast about me.
That's funny. Oh. So, what else we got?
So was that a good poll then? Remember the Remington Steele reference? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I need a little affirmation
that's a good
today.
One.
I'm looking for affirmation today. That's all.
Oh, that was a good one. I like it. It was perfect.
I'm okay and people like me, damn it.
Yeah, I hear you.
What's the Stuart Smalley thing he says?
Yeah. Oh, I forget.
Sorry. Senator Franken.
Yeah, there you go. That's always funny.
So, again, on a positive note, it's nice to see that DC is you know, standing behind and continuing to put out a quality Batman book. It could easily have degenerated into, you know, what some of the other quality books have degenerated into, you know, the Animal Mans or the...
You're not reading that anymore?
I'm on the fence there, and the same with Justice League Dark. I mean, these are books that had very strong starts and have degenerated, unfortunately. So, but Batman has maintained, I would say, with maybe one or two exception issues, has maintained a very high quality. And I think those issues, unfortunately, were the death of the family issues. But
that was a real. I really don't get the point of that.
With the return of the Joker.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me a bit. So, given that we're also going to be getting a Villains Month issue with the Joker, and they're never, ever, in the way that they would never kill Superman, they're never going to kill the Joker. They're never going to kill Batman. It's always...
Oh, no, absolutely not.
There will be a Joker again. And that would be, you know, a year off, you know, out of the spotlight. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I have to admit, they did keep him out longer than I thought.
Yeah, they kept him out of the spotlight for almost the first, you know, for the first year of the New 52. Brought him back, killed him. They can get rid of him again.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. No, I agree.
Anyhow, so.
All right,
kudos to DC. I didn't think I'd be able to talk for an hour on this stuff, but it's a good book. And Snyder, you know, despite what I might think of Superman Unchained, I'm still a fan.
I haven't read that yet. Is it any good?
Despite what I would think of Superman Unchained,
I'm sorry. I missed that part. You cut out a little or something.
Oh dear.
Shall I say that again? Despite what I think of Superman Unchained.
Gotcha. All right then. Yeah, though the Orson Scott Card is like completely out of it. They never did do that.
What?
He was never in Superman.
Chained. Oh, I'm thinking about the Adventures of Superman one. Never mind.
No, no. Superman Unchained is the Jim Lee, Scott Snyder series. That was supposed to be banking on the fact that Man of Steel was going to make so much money and be huge in the reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I read it made over $1 million in sales, actually.
Good for that.
It sold like gangbusters.
At $5 an issue, it should sell well.
It's true. I forgot about that. It was pretty expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, and with stores like Chris Walsh's buying extra copies to get the limited covers.
Yeah. Forgot about that too.
Anywho.
All right. Well, I think that about covers it.
All right.
3 weeks to our birthday.
Yes, 3 weeks to our birthday. Awesome. 2 years, man. That's awesome.
I'll be out of our diapers.
Yeah, that's better than my nephew. Still, he's having trouble with the potty training. Poor kid.
Cheerios.
Yeah.
No Cheerios. I forgot Cheerios.
Cheerios. What's that got to do with it?
You aim for them.
They float.
Oh well, yeah. No, it's the fact of actually getting him in there at all.
You need to have it. Your sister has to have a no clothes Saturday or Sunday, and that will the problem will solve.
You know, I was thinking about that. I heard somebody else say the same thing: is just not put the pullets on and put an actual underwear on it, and they'll stop because they got that safety feeling or something like that. That's an idea.
Yeah. You have to be naked. You can all be naked all day long.
No, that would be incredibly unfortunate.
Wow, that's going. I wasn't even going to go that far.
That's just not right at all. It is. I don't even want to see my body, let alone let everybody else. You know, and then, you know, my sister and a kid. No, that's just weird. That's just weird right there. Now, if I was still married, then that'd be okay, but no.
Close-minded Americans. You got to be comfortable with your bodies.
I'm comfortable with it as long as I don't have to look at it.
Oh, God, a whole other reason not to go to Canada for me. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you're all walking around naked, I'm staying here.
I was actually considering it there for a minute, but wow.
Oh, by the way, I was looking at DC's page before we go, real quick. You know how they've been doing the what's new in the 52 and telling new names of characters, you know, introducing new characters? Well, there's one I looked and introducing Hammer Down. And another character called Whipcrack.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Whipcrack, boys and girls. That is a very unfortunate name. Hammer Down. Yes. And Whipcrack. Coming up in Birds of Prey number 22. So anyway, that's about it for this week. I'll leave on that note. Looking forward to that Whipcrack appearance.
Whipcrack.
That's going to probably work.
Wait for the Whipcrack miniseries. Wait for the Whipcrack action figures. Wait for Whipcrack the movie.
Oh, yeah. There you go. He's the new sensation.
Whipcrack.
He's a Bulgarian gangster type.
I didn't say that 5 times fast. Whipcrack. No.
Yeah. He's also the most cold-blooded member of the entire Basculus team. I guess that's some team that they're getting up. Anyway.
Yeah, comments on this episode or any other episode.
Yeah. So, anyway, what was I saying? Somebody's IMing me on the other computer, and I'm trying not to get distracted. Anyway, that's it for this issue. And as usual, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Or you can talk to us on our rapidly growing Facebook page.
Just new people, and welcome.
4 or 5 people just like every 6 or 7 months. It's just we can't handle it. It's just too many. Or you can comment on the actual episodes. Spam-free, I might add. Nifty new technology that goes in the background of WordPress. It just kicks the crap out of those spammers. Don't even let them on there. It's just awesome. Not as awesome as Whipcrack, but still.
Whipcrack, but really.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Goes together. Anyway, so that's it for this week.
Whipped butt.
See, I'm not going to even tell that name to my nephews because they'll be saying it all day long.
That's like a comment that Scott Coles would make at the end of an episode of Legion of Substitute.
Yeah, it's just like something at random. And Whipcrack. I can see him doing that.
Quick. I am into him.
I might do that. I'll have to do that right now. Okay. He's on right now, isn't he?
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, they're probably recording right now. Anyway, that's it for this week.
Right.
And we're always, out.
Always fun. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna go I have 1 more hour till I can eat. Okay. I'm gonna go bug my kids and watch Doctor Who.
Alright.
Ooh, good one. Which one?
It's a Matt Smith episode. I don't know what he confronts an ultimate evil, I think.
Oh, well, don't they do that? They do that a lot, though, don't they?
It's got another appearance of River Song in it. And,
see, I have got to get that. I really do.
Does River Song actually ever become a companion on the show, or does she always just have these random appearances?
No, she just kind of shows up.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Implied that at some point she becomes a companion, but we never actually get to see her companionship. Okay.
Yeah, not really. Like, she's in a lot of the Matt Smith episodes. Like, she's with Rory and Amy quite a bit. I know they even made
a River Song, like, toy for her, so...
What do you... Mm.
Screwdriver, Sonic Screwdriver. I remember seeing that.
what season are you in? Have they gone to America yet?
No, the episode that we just watched had the doctor being a tenant at this guy's house.
That's a good one.
Where he gets it, where he plays the hookup guy between this guy and his
bestie. That's a great one.
Which I really appreciate because that's how my wife and I were. We were like best friends, and I like totally had the hots for her and stuff. So
I mysterious stranger came down and.
Son of a bitch was better than me at everything. So, yeah, I still ended up with the woman. Got
ways to go, but you'll figure out, or they'll let you know what River Song is.
Oh, so there's going to be some America setting episodes. Okay, good.
Yes, they go to America and wear cowboy hats.
Interesting.
I was wondering. We just got past the episode with Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah, why did they say that, Vincent Van Gogh? That's not his name.
It was Dutch.
Whatever.
All right, well, I'm gonna go
to the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Have a good week. Have fun with the matches.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Hey, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.